for many of us, hearing the words, a reading from the book of Leviticus, elicits a visceral response, which may even result in a physical reaction aimed at protecting ourselves from the harsh words that we are certain will follow, words that condemn. Perhaps the reason for this defensive reaction to hearing the pronouncement that the reading is from Leviticus is that our lectionary rarely includes readings from Leviticus. So we're mostly left to hear quotes from this important code of conduct for God's people thrown at us entirely out of context. Leviticus is a book that should be taken in whole. Unfortunately, the whole is a rather lengthy list of commandments, which read in full may be as overwhelming as the Alabama Constitution. Many of the 613 commandments of the Torah apply to priests and are aptly referred to as the priestly code. These laws address how priests are to conduct worship, what they are to wear, where every article for worship is to be located, and how to offer a proper sacrifice. The other commandments referred to as the holiness code are for all the people of God, and they teach how to be holy, how to live as God intends. Our passage today begins with God saying to Moses, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" Think on that for a minute. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Or as Eugene Peterson has translated in his version, the Message, "Be holy, for I, God, your God, am holy." You have the potential to be holy because you have the DNA of God. You are created in the image of God, made from the spark of God. Be that. Be holy. And here in this long and thorough list of commandments is how the people of God began to be formed in community as the holy people of God. In these commandments are some boundaries for your shared life together. There are 365 boundaries of what not to do, and 248 that tell you what you should do. They are to keep you safe and whole, and to guide you into holy living. These laws are given to give balance to your lives as holy people, and to assure that no one has an unfair advantage or is taken advantage of by others. An example of this is, do not render unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice, you shall judge your neighbor. Holy life is balanced and ordered so that no one has preferential treatment, neither the poor nor those in power, those deemed to be great. Holy living is equalizing. All are to be treated with the same dignity, with no preferential treatment given. Do not slander or spread gossip. Do not profit from your neighbor's blood. Do not hate any of your kin, which also means neighbor. If your neighbor is not acting in accord with these commandments and you fail to bring this out in the open, you are as guilty as your neighbor. Through all of these laws, we're shown the deep interconnectedness of our shared lives as the holy people of God. While many of the laws of the Torah seem to point to individual behaviors and responsibilities, they are all for the good of the shared life of the community. How we care for ourselves and each other, how we treat and respect ourselves and others, is ultimately for the good of the community, culminating here in love of neighbor and of self. It's not surprising that a lawyer, a keeper of these laws, came to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, Which commandment in the law is the greatest? Is it more important to keep your oxen off the road on the Sabbath or not to profit from your neighbor's blood? Jesus, steeped in his Jewish upbringing and knowledge of the Torah, drew first from Deuteronomy, the Shema, the central prayer of daily Jewish prayer life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. The passage continues with directions. Take heart these instructions which I charge you this day. Impress them upon your children. Recite them when you stay at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them serve as a symbol on your forehead. Inscribe them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment, says Jesus, and the second is like it, or like unto it, as we hear in our Rite 1 liturgy. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. All 613 laws and all the words spoken on behalf of God by the prophets, everything that teaches and guides the holy people of God into holy living is culminated in these two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the litmus test for holy living. Our every thought and our every action should be held up next to these two commandments to help us determine if we are living into God's directive, be holy, because I, God, your God, am holy. You have been formed out of the dust of the earth, breathed into life by the holy breath of God. You have everything you need to be holy, to live holy lives in community as God's holy people. And all that makes you holy is culminated in love. The love that first formed all creation, the love that formed all of us, the love that is from God and with God and is God. These commandments, as detailed and all-encompassing as they are not to be taken individually as a test to see how anyone at any time has failed or is not in compliance, but as guides to holy living directed by love. They're not meant to condemn, but to affirm shared life, shared holy life, directed from a place of loving God, neighbor, and self. If our thoughts and our actions are not compatible with love of God, neighbor, and self, then perhaps we need a holiness check. Everything culminates in love. Be holy, be loved, and be love. Amen.